You know how when you buy anything like a car or a toy or a fridge, there's usually a manual that comes with it? Well, what if you had a manual?
Welcome to the Healthpreneur Show. My name is Uriel Kim. If you're a health practitioner or coach looking to build a successful virtual health practice that allows you to help more people, make a lot more money, and enjoy a greater quality of life in the process, then this is the podcast for you to listen to. Let's dive in.
Hey guys, Uriel Kim here, CEO and founder of Healthpreneur. We help health professionals like yourself get clients and scale their businesses online. And I want to share a really cool activity that I recently did for myself and really for the people that work with me. I got this idea from a podcast I was listening to. And it was just like in passing. I was like, oh yeah, like this person set up a user manual for themselves for the people that report to them. So they understand how this individual works. And I was like, that's a brilliant idea. That's a brilliant idea. Because really, as I've mentioned before, the biggest challenge you're ever going to have in your business and the biggest opportunity you're ever going to have in your business is all about the people. So people become your biggest asset or your biggest liability. And people includes you. All problems are people problems. And you are a person, my friend. So most problems will begin with you. Most problems, when you really get down to the root of why they're happening, are really like a you problem, or in my case, a me problem. So let me give you an example. If you bring on a team member and they're not performing well, right? So maybe that person just doesn't have the right skill set for doing the thing that they're supposed to do. So whose fault is that? It's your fault for hiring them. It's my fault for hiring them, right? If you have the right person on, well, again, they wouldn't be the right person if this wasn't happening. But let's say you have someone on and they're not being held accountable to specific outcomes, or at least very process-driven goals, whose fault is that? Well, it could be, it's obviously their fault as well, but it's your fault for number one, hiring them, and number two, not having a system in place to keep them accountable. So what I'm sharing with you here is that if you can understand more about you and communicate that with the people that you work with, they understand you better. So collectively, you just have a better relationship, because that's really what this is. A business is an ensemble of relationships of people, right? And the better, it's very much like in a romantic relationship. If you got terrible communication, it's not going to work out too well. So what I decided to do last week, it took me a couple of days to put this together and get clarity around this, was I put together a user manual for Uriel Kim. And essentially what this is going to be used as is a 15-page document. So it's, you know, it's pretty in depth about who I am, how I operate. So my genius zone, my weaknesses, who I am, how I work, how I communicate and work with others, what I value, my weaknesses, as I think I just mentioned. I'll share some of this stuff with you in a moment. I have a very low tolerance for, I will endlessly support and go to battle for, do ask me to, things I love to do, things that interest me, etc. So why this is important, and again, I'll share some specifics if you're interested from my user manual in just a second. But for me, why this is important is that the more you understand someone you're working with, the better off you can work together. So as an example, when you hire someone, you need to, like, there's some basic personality / tendencies of working profiles you should have an idea about. So we asked for two profiles, DISC and Colby. DISC is going to give us a sense of, like, are they more dominant? Are they more outgoing? Are they more people type of person? Are they more kind of systems and like methodical? These are some very basic things that can help us making sure we've got a good fit with the role. So if we're looking for a sales rep, we're looking for someone who's high D, high I-ish combination. So they're dominant and they're very like extroverted people type of people, right? Not that they have to be high extroverts, but just they enjoy the social interaction with other people. If someone comes in with an S and a C on their DISC in a sales rep position, it's probably not going to work out. Now, I'm not going to base the decision solely on that, but it's very helpful for helping us just filter people out a little bit. Colby is the same thing. Colby is going to give us a connotative breakdown of how we do things, how we start, how we initiate work. So Colby has four scores. There's fact finder, follow through, quick start, and implementer. I'm very low fact finder, which means that I don't look at details, and that stuff bogs me down. So if I take something, if I buy something and take something out of a box, like an IKEA piece of furniture, I have such a high quick start. I'm an 8 on quick start out of 10 that I will start building it without even looking at the user manual, which sometimes can be to my dismay. So when I remember hiring my first assistant 12 years ago, that was my first hire, I think. And it was the first time I had someone do a Colby score, Colby test. And to my surprise, she didn't have the same score as I did. I was like, what? Everyone's different. No one's like me. I'm not like, I thought everyone was like me. Pretty naive. So her scores were very different from mine. And what I started to understand was like, oh, if I tell her I need something by tomorrow, that might stress her out a little bit. But for me, I get really excited by that. Huh, good to know. Oh, she needs much more detail and a little bit of a structure. Good to know. I can just fly off the seat of my pants. So understanding these differences became very, very important for me. And it's still very important for everything that we do. It's something that I really find important for me to learn about my direct reports, the people that I work closely with in our company. And it's also important for them to know about me. Because let me give you some examples, okay? We all have things that we love doing and things that drain our energy. And I think the more you can learn about yourself, the more powerful you become on this planet. And oddly enough, I'll tell you where some of the best information I've learned about myself has come from is from astrology. It sounds like totally woo-woo, but if you've ever done a natal birth chart, just type in like natal birth chart on Google. You'll find a website, some websites. If you know the time you were born, like the specific time, I was born at 10:30 p.m. in Toronto, Ontario. And what that does is it like, it looks at the longitude, latitude of the astrological stuff. And it is, it sounds so out there, but it is so friggin' accurate. It is crazy. It is absolutely insane how accurate my natal birth chart is based on who I am at 41 years old. Now, I'm not saying I'm fixed in stone. We can all grow and evolve. And I think that's something that I pride myself on. But it's insane how accurate this stuff is. And even I've done it for my kids. I'm like, well, that was pretty on, you know, spot on. So I looked at my natal birth chart because I had done it a couple years ago and I kind of just pulled it up and I'm like, huh, what's some stuff here that I can pull out that I can put into my user manual that would be very interesting and helpful for some of my team members to know about, right? So let me give you a couple examples of things that I've put into my user manual. So number one, I've got my genius zone. There's three things that if I only did these three things, I'd be extremely fulfilled. Number one is communication. That involves speaking on stage, shooting videos, being interviewed on podcasts, and sharing the vision and unifying a team toward that goal. Okay, that's number one. Number two is strategy. So mapping out a game plan for achieving an outcome and seeing the bigger picture and helping other people see blind spots and gaps in what they're doing. And number three is growth. So that's like learning and consuming stuff to get better. And then consolidating that in such a way that I can then teach or apply for myself and our team and then eventually to others. So communication, strategy, and growth. Those are really like my genius zone activities. Everything else, I'm pretty much useless at. And the more I try to strengthen my weaknesses, the more weak strengths you have, right? Or I have. So what I'm trying to say here is if you uncover what you're great at doing, you should build your entire life around doing those few things. And it's not a lot of stuff. In my case, it's three things. That's it. That's why I do videos like this. I don't write blog posts because writing blog posts, I would rather force a knife into my eye repetitively than write a blog post, okay? So you have to honor who you are. If you love blogging or writing, write. I can't stand writing. I will pay people to write for me from my video content. That's how much I dislike writing. But it's also something I've developed a skill around for more than 15 years with respect to copy and messaging, et cetera. So that's at a high level, just like you got to know that about me if you're going to work, if we're going to work together. I'm going to share a couple things about, you know, in my user manual here. So it's again, it's, you know, broken down into small paragraphs, you know, easy to consume. little things like I tend to do my best work early in the day. I like afternoons for meetings and interviews, right? So this is helpful for, you know, an executive assistant or anyone on our team who's involved in, you know, scheduling meetings or interviews with like other, you know, outside people. I'm like, don't set up an interview for me at 9 a.m. That's not a good time to do it. Another one is, although I'm very good at building funnels and I understand the tech and I understand conversion rate optimization, because I've had to do that stuff for 15 plus years, maybe not one, not the whole 15 years, but about at least 10 years, I became very, very good at that stuff. But I should not spend time there because it's too detail oriented for me and it's in the weeds. I need to be high level. The other thing too is I love big challenges and I feel most alive when presented with something that is meaningful, that needs to be figured out, and that will yield positive forward momentum. Boredom and apathy are my fast path to unhappiness. So if I'm like, there's no stimulation for me, I'm like, you might as well just call it a day, put a tag on my feet, throw me in the morgue. But as soon as I'm faced with a sizable project or a challenge or something really big that we have to figure out, I come like alive, it stimulates my brain, it makes me feel useful and fulfilled. So these are things that I've uncovered about myself that I'm sharing in this user manual so that when someone's reading this, they're like, oh, cool, all right, good to know, okay? So anyways, there's a bunch of stuff about, you know, how I am as a person, whatever. Another one, like impatience is a vice. I'm not a very patient person and that shows up in many different ways. Innovation is a big strength for me. I love starting new things, but I have to be careful to channel that in ways that keep me focused. And I've talked about this before. Instead of going like using creative, like with your delivery, instead of having 1,000 things you're offering, have one, maybe two very powerful things and use your creativity to channel that vertically deep. This, I actually found this was very interesting. I actually didn't get this from my natal birth chart, but this is actually an observation I made of myself. So when I was younger, I'm just reading this off my user manual, I used to always sit in the back of the bus and back of the class, always. I would all like, no matter where I was sitting, it was like last row. I was also a goalkeeper in soccer. So if you think about this, my tendency was really to want to see everything in front of me. And maybe that was important because I like observing and understanding how things and people operate. If I'm in the front row, I can't see what's happening behind me. So I don't know if that was intentional or just like, who knows, right? This tendency, you know, astrologically, who knows? But it was a very, very interesting observation that I just kind of compiled. I was like, wow, I all sit at the back of the bus, all sit at the back of the class, and I was a goalkeeper in soccer, so I could see everything in front of me. And I was like, huh. So I think that's given me a really interesting perspective, even from a very young age, for like high level thinking, high level strategy, and really thinking like a chess master. So it was really cool. I just found that cool. All right. I'm going to share a couple things about my weaknesses. I'm restless, right? So I'm a very focused person unless I'm not focused. And then I'm all over the place, right? Like Gmail, Facebook, like, you know, so that's like the ADD of the entrepreneur. So what I've done here is in this part of the manual, I've said, here's my weakness and here's how you can support me. So I've said, here's my weakness is I have a tendency to be restless. So for instance, how you can support me, give me structure, but not so much that I rebel against it. Help me create an environment that is free of distraction and temptations. And do not ask me to do work that is tedious or out of my zone of genius, because I will figure out a way not to do that. Another one, I'm impulsive, which means that I make decisions very quickly. And a lot of those decisions are based on gut feel or my sixth sense, which I think I have a pretty good grasp of, or whatever information I have on hand. But in some cases, that has been to my detriment. And I've made some very expensive decisions because I've valued speed over like fact-finding and getting all my information, all my ducks in a row, which I never do, okay? So how can you support me as a team member? Well, support my decisions, but do not be afraid to challenge me about why the decision is being made and whether or not I have all the information needed to make the best decision possible. Another kind of related to this, another weakness is being wasteful and overzealous. So I'm the complete opposite of a penny pincher, right? Like I don't collect coupons. I'm not going to drive across town to save 5 cents on gas. I have no problem spending money, which again, has been to my detriment, right? Spending $20,000 on developing an app that we haven't even finished and we're not even going to use. I mean, like stuff like that. I'm very optimistic about the future, which for me is always going to be brighter than the past, but it's also clouded my judgment sometimes because I think that I can make a lot more money to compensate for some of the mistakes in the present. Okay. So again, how can you support me as a team member? Do not be afraid to challenge or question me related to bigger business related expenses or investments. And as a team member, bring a sense of frugality to our financial operations, looking for opportunities for us to cut unnecessary costs. So those are a couple of ways that someone working with me can like balance, you know, that tendency that I have. Provoking, that's another weak. So here's the thing is like these weaknesses are also my strengths. To like you can hopefully see that. And this is going to be the same for you. Your weaknesses also become your strengths in certain ways. So provoking, this is a weakness of mine, but it's also a strength, right? I'm very polarizing, very opinionated. It pisses some people off, but it also attracts the right people to my world, okay? So how you can support me as a team member is let me know if I've offended someone close to us with something I've said. This will help me reflect and think twice the next time. This actually happened in a team meeting a couple months ago. I said something and I completely didn't even think that what I had said had affected someone because they had a family member that was whatever. Stuff like that, okay? Secondly, is have the confidence to voice your own opinion or support mine if you truly believe it, right? Don't just take everything I say as gospel, etc. And then again, my final weakness, not my final, I have a lot of weaknesses, but the ones I can, you know, relatively document here, again, is also a strength, is I'm a great starter, not a finisher, right? So I can start stuff, but you have to take care of the details. So that's, you know, how I've compiled some of my weaknesses so that someone looking at this and say, oh, this is, you know, some of the stuff that, you know, Yuri's not great at, here's how I can support him, et cetera. All right, I'm going to just finish off with a few more things. So what are the things that drive you crazy, right? The things you have a very low tolerance for. So for me, I have a very low tolerance for people who don't think. It drives me nuts, okay? Or otherwise just dumb people. I have very low tolerance for nepotism, laziness, and entitlement, unions, and the thinking that you can just show up, get paid, and never be fired regardless of performance. I think unions should be annihilated from this planet. That's my perspective, okay? So a lot of this stuff gets into very, very opinionated, politically incorrect stuff. I have zero tolerance for people who don't do a good job for what they were hired to do. If I go to a restaurant, not that I've been to a restaurant in a while because of, you know, the obvious, but if I go to an establishment and I'll just use a great example. Actually, a couple of weeks ago, we went to Tim Hortons, which is like a donut and coffee shop. We ordered half a dozen donuts because I like donuts and we do it sometimes. And three of the donuts we ordered were the wrong ones. And I'm thinking to myself, how fucking dumb are you? And I know that sounds really abrasive. This is what I'm thinking in my head. I asked you for six donuts and you got half of them wrong. Again, people who don't think or just otherwise dumb people and people who don't do a good job for what they're hired to do. Now you might say, Yuri, man, like you're a bit of a prick. Okay. But listen, here's the thing is we all think stuff like this, maybe not exactly this, but you have tendencies of like, this is stuff I can't stand. This stuff drives me crazy. And I'm saying in your user manual, you should probably document this. Because if people understand what drives you crazy, they will understand you at a deeper level. And they either accept it or they don't, right? Like, there's no surprises with my team. They kind of know who I am. I don't hold anything back. Another big thing that drives me crazy, I have low tolerance for, is just doing tasks instead of taking ownership for outcomes. Don't just like tell me you did a good job because you got stuff done. I don't care about that. Tell me how what you did moved the needle towards the outcome. And that's a culture thing in our business. Anyways. Do not ask me to do any high detail or repetitive work. Do not ask me to read from a script or overly prepare for a presentation. That's not my genius zone. Do ask me to come up with new ideas, to shoot from the cuff based on my knowledge and experience and create video-based content, right? Ask me to do those three things. I'll do them forever. So anyways, I'm sharing this with you. Hopefully, I don't know if it's useful to you, gives you some more insight into who I am, if you even care. But what I'd suggest is take a few days to think through who you are at your core. What are your tendencies? What are your weaknesses? What are your superpowers? What are the things that really irk you? What are some of your beliefs, even if they're not politically correct? Because if you're going to work with people closely, the more they can understand how you operate and who you are and how you think, the more they're like, it's just going to be better. And if you can get them to create a user manual that you can then reference, everything's going to work a lot better eventually, right? The key is obviously you have to refer to this. You can't just like breeze through it and know the person like, oh, they're like, whatever. Reference it, right? Go back through it a couple times to really understand who this person is, what their tendencies are, how you can support them, where their shortcomings might be. I think it's a great exercise, and I'm going to have my direct reports do it in our business, even though I feel like I know them pretty well. There's always levels that you can learn more about people. So anyways, that's the user manual exercise. I hope you find it useful. Let me know if you think that's useful in the comments below. Just type useful or waste of time. Doesn't matter to me, but I'd love to hear your thoughts. And if you're watching this on the YouTube, remember to subscribe to the channel somewhere around here. Got hundreds of other videos to help you build a thriving online business and just overall become way better at what you do and helping more people, making more money, and just living a great life. So thank you for your attention. Thank you for tuning in, and I'll see you soon.
If you've enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe to the Healthpreneur Show podcast. And while you're there, I'd really appreciate it if you left a 5-star rating or review if you feel it merited that. At the same time, if you'd like to connect with me, the best place to do so is on Instagram. You can find me. I am at Healthpreneur. And be sure to tune in and subscribe to our YouTube channel on YouTube. Just search Healthpreneur and you'll find all of our great videos there as well. That's all for today. I appreciate your time and your attention. Keep doing the meaningful work that you are doing, and I look forward to seeing you in the next episode.